Let us take our Bibles and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10 this evening. Romans chapter 10. I'd like to encourage your hearts from this text. This text is in the center of three of the most troublesome chapters in the entire epistle of Romans. Growing up, I did not hear many messages preached from these three chapters, Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter 11. And that is simply because there's a lot in those chapters to wrestle with. There's a lot that you have to look into. What is Paul really saying? And because of that difficulty or because of that apparent difficulty, a lot of us will stay clear of that, those three chapters. But I believe that, as Paul said, we should endeavor to teach the whole counsel of God. And that is part of God's word. And as a result of that, we are commanded to preach it. And so as we realize, Paul began in chapter 9. After in chapter 8, he talks about the spirit-filled life and how he talks about the love of God towards the end of that chapter. He began a discourse regarding Israel. What is Israel doing right now? Or what plans does God have for Israel at the moment? And that is a very significant question. It is a very significant question in the sense that if we do not understand what God is doing with Israel right now, it will be very difficult for us to decide or for us to find our place in human history. Because just look at how much of the Bible is about Israel. How much of it? In fact, 39 out of the 66 books of the Bible is about Israel. And it is very important that we understand what God is doing. And as Paul brings that understanding to the people, we have to pay attention. But as Paul speaks to the question, what about Israel? He has some very important things for us as the church today to learn. In chapter 9, he's talking about the sovereignty of God. God is absolutely sovereign, yes. But then in chapter 10, he will talk about human responsibility. God is sovereign. He decides who gets saved. But yes, man is responsible. Just look at it this way. Look at John 3:16. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is God's sovereignty. That's his love. That's his part of the equation. But then he continues to say, that whosoever believes in him, that is our part. That is our responsibility. Yes, God is sovereign in providing our salvation. There's nothing that we can do to get ourselves our salvation. God has to provide it. All the things and all the processes that we may think about as accomplishing our salvation are absolutely dependent on God. But also, we have that responsibility to say, yes, Lord, I receive your gift of salvation for me. And so that is what Paul is balancing here. And I think that a lot of times we stay clear of this text because we really do not know how to reconcile those. And the fact is, as I look at the Bible and as I've studied theology, we are not commanded to reconcile those.
All right, that's right.
God has not reconciled them for us. He wants them to be, what as Dr. Jim said, tension truths.
Yes.
This is true. This is also true. Despite the fact that they may look like they are opposites. God wants us to live it up to him. And that is exactly the conclusion Paul comes to in chapter 11. Where he said, look, we can't just figure it out. And because we can't figure it out, the only thing we can do is this. Look at verse 33 of Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
That should be our conclusion. I cannot figure it out. God, thank you that you have.
Amen.
And I trust you. You see, and in chapter 10, I just want us to follow Paul's conversation with the people of Israel. And I hope that that will be an encouragement to you tonight. Is that, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is. After he talked about the sovereignty of God, he's bringing in the responsibility of man. But please, he lays bare his burden, his desire for his people group. And that is where missions comes into the picture. What are your desires for your people group? What are your desires for the people that you intend to reach here in Madison? What are the desires in your heart for those people that you encounter at the workplace, those people that you encounter at the grocery store? Paul made his desire known. He said, my desire is that they might be saved. He has a desire for them. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that is very true. Because the Jews are probably, or let's say if we look back into the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees were the most zealous people concerning the things of God. In fact, Paul tells us that the Israelites have the privilege of receiving the oracles of God. In the Old Testament, and all that God sought to accomplish with the Israelites was so that the people of Israel will be a light to all the nations that were around them. But today, as we look at Israel, we are saying, that's not a light. They don't even believe in God. We, the Gentiles, are having to take the gospel of Jesus Christ back to them.
Right.
To preach back their Messiah to them. To take them and point them. Hey, look, that is your Messiah. And it is the same that Paul was saying, I desire that they be saved. And I want to apply that to our hearts this evening. As we look in the world around us, we see many people that we can call our countrymen. We see many people that, despite the fact that we may not be able to call them our countrymen, we know that God has made of all nations from one blood. We know that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ just like we do. And what is our desire for them? Our desire should be that they be saved. And verse 3, he said, for by being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is what Israel was doing. They took the law of God. And when God himself was standing before them in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, they still walked past him looking for righteousness with God. Does that sound familiar today? It is very familiar. Because we encounter people that are very religious. We encounter people that are very zealous in their religious pursuit. But when you begin to tell them of Jesus Christ and how that he died on the cross and how that it is just by simply putting their faith in him that brings them salvation and brings them the righteousness that they are going by themselves to establish, which cannot be possible anyway, they look at you as a stupid person. In my culture, the Muslims will turn around and say, why is it that you believe that 2,000 years ago, just one man hanged on the cross and died and your sins are forgiven? How stupid is that? But you know what? Paul said it pleased God. It pleases God that through the preaching of the cross, salvation will come to man. We have to do that today. We have to encounter that today. But let us realize it begins with the desire. And it also continues by realizing that they are not righteous. And they are not receiving the righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. But they want to establish their own righteousness out of God's own righteousness. And the reason why Paul is able to capture this very succinctly and very clearly is this: for he himself was one of them. For he himself did the same thing. When we look at his testimony in Philippians chapter 3, he tells us that if we were going to judge him, Paul, by the law of Israel, he was going to be a blameless man. That was his testimony. But the Bible tells us that when Paul came to face to face with Jesus Christ, when he met Jesus Christ on that Damascus road, all that changed. And when you look at his the manifesto of his life in Philippians, he said, I am no longer looking at my own righteousness, but I am looking for the righteousness of God which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. He said, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to identify with the sufferings of his cross. I want to be made conformable unto his death. Paul found the real deal. And that is what we should point people to as we endeavor to do missions. But let's continue to read on. Let's go down with me to verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the simplicity of the gospel. That is the simplicity of what Jesus Christ has come to accomplish. That it is faith in him that brings our salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Verse 18, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is only in Jesus Christ. And now, how many of us believe that salvation is found only and only in Jesus Christ? Now follow me as we go to the next section. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Now go down to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the logical progression is this. We know that salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And we know that if people will hear about Jesus Christ, somebody actually has to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. And what is our role in that? That is the role Christ has given to us. That we have the privilege of taking that message of salvation, of taking that message that brings deliverance, that establishes the righteousness of God, to take that message and present it to the people that we encounter on a daily basis. That is our role. Because this is what Paul was arguing. The fact that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation does not mean that everybody is saved. And if we believe that with all of our hearts, then it is our responsibility to let everybody know. Because if they do not know, this is a reality. They are not excusable. Paul mentioned that. They are without excuse. But the fact is that we have that responsibility to tell them of Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel, the prophet likened it to the watchman standing being a watch over the city. He said, if the watchman sees trouble coming and warns the city, and the city does nothing about its own safety, if the city is destroyed, the watchman will be saved. He would have done his duty. But if he does not warn the city and the city is destroyed, the city will be destroyed, all right, but the blood of all the citizens are going to be in the hands of the watchman. We are like the watchman. And God has given us the privilege of announcing to people of hell coming, of eternal destruction, and of the hope that is present only in Jesus Christ. Look, if we don't, they will perish all right, because that's God's justice. But their blood will be in our hands. Today I received two messages of death. And it came close to home because I know those two people, two young ladies. One of them is a young lady that I got to know through the church that I was preaching at. She is from one of our churches in one of the nearby villages. And that young lady loved the Lord, lived her life to glorify Him. And today, when I heard that she passed on to glory, I sorrowed. But you know what? I know that one day I will see her again.
Amen.
That is my hope. And then just before the service started, before I came into the church building, I got another message of death. And that really came close to home. Really, really in my home, in my family. An extended family member that is a Muslim. She passed on to glory. And you know what I thought? I'm going to be sorrowful for the rest of my life, for the rest of eternity, because I will not get to see her again. But when I thought about that, I also imagined. I so clearly remember this. I had the opportunity of being with this aunt of mine back in 2018. And I remember sharing the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ with her. I did not see her profess Christ, but she heard that there was hope only in Jesus Christ. And you know what I thought when I heard that she passed away? I'm sad that she passed away, but I'm glad that God allowed me to share with her that message. And though she's dead and might be in hell for all of eternity, her blood are off my hands. Because I gave her the only message that could save her. How many are you thinking about today? How many are you desiring to get saved? Know that they will not get saved until they hear about Jesus Christ. And maybe God wants to use you to reach them. Will you obey God? Let us pray. Father, thank you tonight for this reminder of our responsibility to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and know that they will not come in any other way. We pray that you will enable us to be faithful in this business which you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.